made me go all by myself, you know. So I started the club, and I met them there, and they all said, "We're praying for you." Little kids going out there. And I went to this guy, and I went in there, and he had the card file there, and the girl was sitting there. And I said, "I know I owe you some money, but I owe some other people the money. And I'm going to begin next month trying to pay each of you a certain amount a month, and I do not know how much that's going to be. And I want to get it all paid off." That guy turned around to her. He did not tell me how great I was. He did not tell me that he did not want me to feel bad and so that I would not want to do business with him. He did not say he wanted my business. He turned around to her and says, "When he gets that, take his card and mark off every payment, and when he gets that paid, throw the card away." Then I got mad at the son of a bitch. And I had to pray for him. And so then we didn't do that anymore, and I finally got them all paid off in about 2 or 3 years. We don't do that in a hurry. And I had to do that. And then I was worried about, I'd been sober a year, and I went back to see my folks. I just knew that my aunt being a good Southern Baptist, she's just going to have a fit because I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I went in there, and you know how we are, with all my birthday cards and my new lighter. Tell her how great AA was. I was really going to tell them how great it was. And God, I was telling them all and showing them the birthday cards and telling them that and all this kind of stuff. And when I finally shut up long enough, my aunt says, "Well, thank God you finally found something." That's all there was to it. And they did not want to hear anymore. They didn't understand it anyway, nor did they give a damn. They just were so glad to get that off their mind. Hopefully that financially I might not cost them much more. You know, at 44, I might have a shot at finally getting to where I won't have to come back for money. And to live without things that cause me. To live without the cigarettes. To live without the sex deal. And to live without getting mad at somebody. What happens to me when they're telling me that they don't want me to resent anybody anymore? How am I going to keep... What if I resented a high school principal for failing me in my last year? 2 years after he was dead. I had to pray for a dead man. How am I going to keep from resenting people? When I get one, I've got this... Thy will be done for him. And don't do anything. I'm going to start to live a life never to harm another human being in any form, fashion, or way, no matter what he does to me. If somebody drives a truck through my house, I'm supposed to say, "Somebody just drove a truck through my house." And pray for him. Can never tell another person again what they are. Can never call them what they are, even though they need it. Can never try to change anything or anybody. Never, ever again, never can I go tell some other people about them. And I'm going to tell you something. We've got some good subjects to talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous. And Al-Anon. I don't know why we're so surprised when we see somebody doing something in AA. My God. If we don't do it, don't worry about it. It won't be done. Because when you see one of us acting on our own thinking, we do it. And we do the ridiculous. We are it, brother. We can do it when it's impossible. People said there's no living way he'd do that. Yeah, there is. Can you believe what she did? You bet I can believe what she did. Not supposed to do that. You and I must change gossip to absolute, true, complete concern. And not talk about another in any other way. We must, and we're required to do it. We kid around a lot about no musts, you know, and then they've got a thing out with it, 150 or how many is it? I don't know how many. Bunch. Anyway. It's not a must. We just got to do it. No, hey, we're black and white, folks. Do it. No deal. No gray. No deal. You just don't do it. Think about it. Don't do it. And look what happens to me once. You know, they heard us say, sure, I'm sorry about what I did last night. Well, I'm going to do it again. So I'm going to have to say that again. I've had people after I sober about 3 or 4 years, I went back to Rio Grande Valley, and they said, you mean that son of a bitch is still sober? Well, he likes to drink too much. It won't last much longer. How am I going to make amends to those people? Doing just what I'm doing. Just what I'm doing. Who's going to change all that? You going to change it? You never could before. Could you go down there and say, I'm never going to drink again? Can I go do that? I'm sorry about what I did. What's going to change all that? I don't know how God does that, but He does that. I don't know how that works. I don't know how, when we leave it alone, it works. When we leave the deal alone, when you and I go in there, how in the world it works, thank God you and I don't know. If we knew, we'd fire God in a living minute. And we'd walk out of here and we'd hit that street working this baby. I always like it when we take words like analyze ourselves and analyze the situation. Think I'll go to a psychologist. That'll help you. I can just see us saying, what you need to do is, Dick, if you and Peggy will just go home and get in the living room on the floor and work that out. Get ready for the divorce. It's coming. One time, after Eloise and I had hooked it up, sitting there in my chair, and Eloise said something, and poof, I got up and went to the bathroom and cooled down past murder. Came back in, and I said, what did you mean when you said that? For the first time, she noticed I was a little upset. She looked at me and said, what do you think I meant? Thank God, now I can tell her. So I thoroughly, completely told her what I knew she said. She looked at me and said, my God, I never thought like that in my life. Then I knew I came from a foreign country. You think we can go work that out? No, we can't go work anything out. You know how she and I communicate? Without communicating. How do you do that? Hell, I don't know. But it works out like a million. It works. Just fantastic. Doesn't cause any misery at all, which is very disappointing. Time. Can you imagine? Do you think you're not different? Tenth step tells us that we are to take a daily inventory. You think you're not different? When you go to work Monday, ask your best friend, do you take a daily inventory? Explain yourself to him. Tell him how you know God. Tell him who you run around with. Ask them if they have to go to church every night. Twice on Saturday and Sunday. Ask them if they have to call somebody to see if it's okay to go out of town. Ask them if they have to. Says, you know, I hadn't seen my mother in a long time and I had a resentment against her. And I asked my sponsor the other day if they could be all right for me to go back and see my mother. They're going to look at you funny. And they won't be inviting you over to their house, I'll tell you that. But we have to do that. Now, does they want me to analyze my life? To see if my situation's right and if God's doing okay, and to see if things are right. No, they don't want me to decide that. They want me to decide whether my situation is should be changed, or I should be changed, or something should be changed. No, they don't want me to decide that. What do they want me to do? They want me to check up on myself to see if I'm living the way Alcoholics Anonymous says for me to live. Am I hiding anything? Have I told my sponsor every single thing I'm thinking? Does another human being in Alcoholics Anonymous know what I'm thinking? Am I planning something? Do you know we can set up a drunk a year from now? 5 years from now? We can set up failure ahead of time? By our going ahead and living the AA way of life, we missed the day we had it set up. Went right on through it, but we had it set up. And you know what's about you and I? We set it up and we do something nobody else knows how to do or would even entertain the thought of doing. We deceive ourselves. Do you know a lot of people wouldn't do that? Even if they could? You and I do that. They want us to check up on ourselves to see, did we say our prayer this morning? Did we invite God in today? Did we read something spiritually that morning? Did we check with our sponsor that day? Did I go to work that day? Am I starting a resentment from anybody? Did I treat somebody wrong that day? Is anybody I need to pray for that I did something to or said something to? And did I go to the meeting that night? And did I thank God that night? That's what I need to find out. That's what I need to check up on. I don't need to check up whether my life's going right or not. Am I on time? Is God doing right? Is everything right? Is things right? Is Eloise doing right? Somebody else doing right? My work right? Finances right? They're telling me not to check up on all that stuff. That's not my business. My business is do this stuff. And I'd rather do the other. Let me tell you about you and I. Finally got through with my sex deal. Eloise is in my life. The kids are coming along okay. Relationships are building in that. We're living in a very nice apartment in Houston, Texas. I'm still with the same company, and I'm making a living. It's unusual for me. We're paying our bills at the end of the month, all of them. Not juggling credit cards. We have more than we need. We're buying things we want. Just doing fine. Well, you don't think I'm going to let that go on, do you? know, you could only handle a little of that. Too much of that will ruin you. You'll forget how to live. NAA, AA group was fine. Had some good friends in AA. Ran around with them. Met at my house. Oh, God, we used to have a Sunday morning breakfast at my house. God. Oh, things were good. Well, I'm going to fix that. There was a guy in Alcoholics Anonymous who had those Lincoln Continentals, owned his own business, and the biggest thing was he had a box at the Oilers football games, which is the most important, of course. So I started getting a little more closely acquainted with him. And I started setting up the deal. And I started telling him a little bit about what I did. And he used salesmen, and I started telling him about things. And we started doing these things. And then finally, why, we started kind of letting him know how much I made and how I operated and all this kind of stuff. And we were working on it. His wife and Eloise were doing just fine. But they weren't working on what we were working on. Their minds don't run right, you know. His wife said, you know, I'm afraid of one thing that could be happening. Jim's going to try to go to work for him. And that'll ruin their friendship. Eloise told me that. What do you think I did with that? They don't know. That's all we got to say to eliminate something, you know, is if they don't know, that just eliminates it. So I kept going right and doing the deal and going to football games and doing the things and going with him. And then he told Eloise one time, says, he's already asked me to go with him. And he told Eloise one time, says, you know, Jim, it's just a matter of time that Jim's going to see the light and he's going to join my organization. And said, you might as well go pick you out a lot. Said, I'll just go ahead and pay for it. Because you're never going to have to worry about money ever again. Eloise passed that on to me. Now, I did not forget that. So I immediately went to some people who had been in AA for a long time. I went to a guy that I knew had been there a long time. And I said, there's only one thing wrong with this. I want you to listen to this. This might save you a little pain. Doubt it. But at least you'll know you're rooted. That one little thing that makes a difference in my life today. That one little voice that I never hear, and I overrule, even though it's always there. There was one little part of the way he did business I couldn't do. And I told this guy, he said, Jim, leave that alone. God! You think I'm going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that. I went to four other men besides him. You know what every one of them told me? Leave it alone. I went to the sixth one. That's our number, one of ours. And you know what that guy said? I could do that. Then what do I say? It's just me. It's just me. I'll be able to do it fine. I'm just part of my sickness. My company, after I resigned in November, paid me through the middle of March because they knew I'd made a mistake. I knew before March I'd made a mistake. But you don't think I'm going to admit it, do you? He decided to send me to the East and set up new territory and hire men. Well, I had to do it my way because that little part that he could do, my principles would not let me do that. And he undid everything I did. He gave me the car. He gave me the same amount of money, except he gave me all expenses where I had to pay my own. I end up, 7 months later, in Orlando, Florida, stark, raving, crazy, but not quite drinking yet. 2 weeks before this day happened, I ran into an AA club because it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I knew that my mind was putting it on me so bad that within 15 minutes, and I knew it as well as I know I'm here today, my mind was going to snap. And I drove that car straight to an OA club and walked in that door and told them I was totally crazy and insane. And you know what we do with that. You're here. Thanks. We've been waiting for you. Come on in. We got into Orlando, Florida, and we could not find a place to stay. We found a place that a guy had about 40 units. Small motel. Went in there, and that guy just happened to have 24 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he took me to a meeting that night and had me talk, and I wasn't going to do it because, by God, you can't talk when you're in bad shape like we are, when God's done what he's done to us. Tell him, he said, it's easy to talk about God when everything's all right, and I'll go. When I got back to the meeting, the guy and I said goodnight, and then about an hour later, he came down, knocked on my door, and I'm up walking. And he said, I want to talk to you a minute. And he said, I don't know what all your deal is, but I know one damn thing. If you don't go back, I don't know. I said anything to about a job. But if you don't go back to Houston and resign that job, you're through. You're finished. Well, I walked up. I said, okay, I'll go. So I walked up and down there at about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, which is what we do, you don't think. And I went in and lay down. And at 3 o'clock, I got up. Got Eloise up. Let's go. She likes that. Got in that car. Took off. Then we got to Birmingham. And I know, it's 10 o'clock at night, I know that nobody stays on this side of town when you're leaving from the other side. You always go on the other side of town, spend the night. I went on the other side of town, and you know the only thing, we haven't eaten yet either. The only thing over there was a Dairy Queen, no motel, so I took her to dinner. Hamburger and a milkshake, got back in that car, and drove her straight to Houston, Texas. Blew in that apartment. Drove in there, and Eloise got out of that car and said, my God, I'll never take a ride again like that as long as I live. When you're totally, completely sitting there insane, you can drive it. From Orlando, Florida to Houston, Texas, without ever batting an eye. Went out there and resigned that job. Now what am I going to do? Why, I'm going to do what any good alcoholic would do. Just say, well, I guess I made a little mistake. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go get in those white pajamas. I've just got a new pair, and I'm going to think a while. Fortunately, Eloise had saved over $5,000 at that period when we were getting income from both companies. Well, when I found that out, I knew it was time for me to start a new career. Well, I went through that. I'd go apply for jobs I knew nothing about. I did this for one solid year. Eloise finally threw those pajamas away. They had no buttons on them, but I wanted to keep them for the rest of my life so I'd remember this trip. And I end up finally going to a place one day answering an ad. Now, I have not earned any money at all, and we had to borrow some more money from my folks. And I went to this place, and this guy looked at me, and he looked at that resume, and he said, I'm going to have to go get that ad. He said, I can't figure out why you're here. He said, we're a small company, and we have four women. working for us, and the rest are men, but we're all engineers. So that's all we do. We do offshore oil well drilling. That's all we do. I was looking for an engineer who specializes in fire safety. And I broke up. First time I laughed in a year. And I just started dying laughing. And I said, hell, it's not you. Just throw that resume in the wastebasket. It's me. And I started to get up and walk out. And I said, just forget the whole thing and thanks a lot. Started to walk out the door and he said, hey, God, I hope you're going to be all right. Call that guy that I hated to call, that damn alcoholic that I hated to call, and I called him. He said, we've been waiting for you to call. I thought, hell, they're going to let me die over here before they ever pay attention to me. And I went over, he came over, brought two newspapers. Said, I said, what'd you bring the paper for? Well, I didn't think you had enough money to buy papers anymore. You haven't worked in a year. He said, now I want you to look up three places that you're going to go and apply for a job tomorrow in the field that you were last in. So I did, and I called him next morning, told him all three of them. And the first one, I just couldn't do it. Hell, I went by there, but I just couldn't go in there. So I went, the second one, walked in there, and some young guy was there that I used to know him when he was a kid. But he's taken over. And he said, you looking for a job? I couldn't tell him. He said, you're out of work. You're looking for a job. I could not say one word. Then he turned around, this guy said, hell, we know him. Said, we take that other interview and just tell that guy we don't want to see him. We're gonna hire him. Let's go. Then I thought, well, hell, you didn't even ask me whether I wanted to do it or not. God, what time we start? We gotta quit. What step we on? What time's the banquet? Went to work for that company and hated every living minute of it. His competitor never can stand and still can't, but I pray for him. And some guy called me and wanted me to go to Saudi Arabia. How long do you think it'd take me to decide that? I gave him my answer on the phone at the time and said, we'll be ready. We end up going to Saudi Arabia. Now, this is when an alcoholic's running his show. We end up in Saudi Arabia. The king got shot. They fired these people, and boom, here we are coming back. And then I called the same company I left many years ago. And I'm back now learning what I didn't learn before. Doing the same thing, and we couldn't get a job there for a while, and they hired us and didn't, and one company backed out, and one Eloise kept saying, call your old company, and I kept calling them, and finally when they invited me up there on Sunday night, I said, God, I hate it. I said, let's leave. Drove all the way to Huntington, Indiana. Let's leave. Why? I just can't go in there and crawl through the door. I just can't do it. She said, well, you don't have to do it till in the morning. I said, oh, okay. Got up the next morning, felt like $1 million. We didn't have any clothes, so I had to buy a new suit, and we didn't have a car, so I had to buy a new car. Beautiful white car. Got in that car, drove up there, parked right in front, walked right in there like I was worth $1 million. And young guys have taken over. He made me fill out every single form, just like they didn't know who in the hell I was. Vice president came by and I was filling out those forms, and he says, If he was coming to my division, I'd hire him right now before we ever filled him out. That guy didn't waver. Another vice president came by and says, by the way, if he and Eloise are going to be here tonight, which means they'd hire us, I'll take care of them tonight. We'll all go to dinner. 3 o'clock that afternoon, he's checked out every reference I gave him. I fussed at Eloise the night before. I said, damn it, we always bring too many clothes. We don't know how to travel. We ought to learn how to travel without banging all the clothes. This guy says, well, we've never hired a man back, but they're going to hire you back. By the way, do you have enough clothes to stay here a week? We want to keep you up here a week. I said, oh, yeah, we always bring plenty. You know what I said on the way back from running to Indiana? I said, what if I hate it like I used to? Well, the level step, I think that's where we are. Probably, but I don't know. It doesn't make a difference. Nobody can tell either, can you? Can't work them anyway, so what difference does it make where we are? They tell me without a shadow of a doubt I've got to have a God, period. I thought when I read the chapter, I said, well, look, there's the deal for the agnostic. God. They've got God in there 40 times on every page. There's no doubt about it. What you and I think about God, you don't end up in AA being right about God. Or Al-Anon. Or Al-Ateen. You don't know God and end up where we are. People said, I've always had a good relationship with God. There ain't no living way. God does not do with his people what happened to you and I. God's children don't live in crap like you and I lived in. And God's children don't insist upon it living that way. And God is not religion. Sorry about that, folks. It'd be better and much more popular. But that's not it. I and you and me have got to have a personal, walking, living, knowing relationship with God himself. And there ain't no gray about that either, baby. And it doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say anything else. It says, God, as you understand him, and by God, we do not understand him. And we're right. But we're going to know a God we don't understand. And that's take him right where he is right now, and that's where you take him. So it is, we ain't got sense enough to take him where we are right now. Because we say, well, I tried that. Hell, you didn't try it. You just got baptized. Or sprinkled, or prayed over, or confessed. We got to where we like to confess. We like to talk about the problems anyway. I'm going to get that God, and that's going to be God's responsibility to come in and take care of my relationship with him. But I'm going to have to do some things and not do some things. And we've got the system. I'm going to have to read some things like the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 and 12, and I'm going to be reading, there's another big book out that's stealing some of our stuff, the Bible. Now don't run off and read some of that and take off, there's a phrase in there that says, ask me anything you wish in my name, I'll do it for you. Now what do you think we could do with that? Well, I'm going to need to do that, and I'm going to need to confess this to mine. I'm going to need to say some prayers every living day. I'm going to need to pray for other people. And I'm going to need to read something spiritual every day. Some of you have been affiliated with churches. You want to go to church? Fine. Now, you don't know how to go to church. So we need to tell you how to go to church. So you'll know how to go to church. I wanted to go, when I was first, you know how we are. When some little something, 24-hour book or something says, or something, a book about God, and God reveals that little meaning to us, we think, oh, I should be a priest probably, or You know, I think I'll go to seminary now. Now, a lot of people caught this at 5, 6, 7 years old. 13, they really got good. So, but that's you and I. We want to be just above Oral and Billy and all that bunch, you know, just a little higher than they are, get us a real thing going. I wouldn't want to be just ordinary preacher. So I'm going to need to live and be different when I go to church. Eloise and I finally, we're going to Baptist church because my aunt goes there. And I can go and be with her and it thrills her to death. Thank God we don't have to stand up and sing. And when we're in town, we go there some. We were there Sundays a week ago, I think. And we go there once or 2 or 3 months, you know. And the preacher came to see us like he's supposed to. And, of course, I let him rest for about 10 minutes, then I dumped it. How? What am I going to do? I'm telling him that I told him that God, A, and Al-Anon lived in my home, that I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's my way of life, and it is my life, and my wife's an Al-Anon. If he has any need for us, we're available. Then I let him run that church. They were doing fine before me. Have a big building there. Paying their bills. They're doing fine. He said he would love to have us as a member there. My aunt had been a member there for years. So we went. And you know what that Baptist preacher did about 2 months ago? He called me, and accidentally I was home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he said, I've got an alcoholic in my office, and I wonder if you could come down. And he let me talk to him by myself. And right before we got ready to leave and I was taking him off, he said, let us pray. And he did. And we left. And he asked me how he's getting along. And he's in Alcoholics Anonymous today. I knew how to go back to church. I didn't go back there to run it. I'm not a deacon. I don't do anything there. I just go. And I get a blessing sometimes. And they say that's okay. But don't try to run it. Explain what they're doing wrong. Tell them what they don't know about God. Tell them it's not that way, because you'll start saying, well, you know, I do this. They'll say, oh, yeah, we do that. You know damn well they don't do that. So you start telling them they don't do that. They'll keep saying they do that. They don't do that. Yeah, they do. It's the way they do what you and I do is different as far as you and I are concerned about what they do. But what they do, according to what they do, and what they think we do, they think it's the same thing. But you and I know it's not. So if you'll keep your mouth shut, when they say something about Jesus or God, you say, that's right. Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. Keep your mouth shut. Then when they call and you got somebody for an hour long, good. We can handle that. Take care for you. And do it. Now that you know how to go back to church, you can go if you want to. As long as you live this way of life and get your sponsor in here and do it this way and don't get into, you know, we're not going to be theologians. And if you wait around Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll do it for you. We had an attorney, good friend of ours, who was in our group. 3 years sober. Sold his law practice, went to Fort Worth, went through the Southern Baptist Seminary, the one that you really get it. Got out of there, got him a nice church, 600-700 people. Doing good for 4 years. What happened? One evening he was out, just thought to have a little glass of wine with his meal. Where do you think he is now? Trying to get a law practice out of his house in Houston. Can't get sober. Knowledge doesn't help us. You know why? We're insane. So if I live this way of life, God's going to fulfill everything we do. When I'd first leave a meeting, some nice man would be so sweet. In that club where we were in Houston, I'd get down at the end of that block, and that light would be there, and I could feel God right behind me. I say, I'm not going to turn around tonight. I turn around every time to know my day's gone. When we were in Saudi Arabia, and we didn't have a meeting, and we didn't have some people there, we didn't have any AA people, we didn't go as prepared for AA as we should have, we didn't have enough tapes and things as we should have had. But when we got over there, and that thing went to pot, and it turned, and we went crazy, I went crazy. I got up one morning about 3 o'clock, and I walked in that living room, picked up that living Bible, and I said, God, we're going crazy. I have got to know what's going on. I cannot go another day. There's no way that I can go one more minute. I said, you know, you always give Eloise something out of the Bible, but you never give me any. I said, I'm going to go over there and turn on this light and open this Bible, and I have to know what's going on. Nobody's involved in this but you and I, and we're totally, absolutely, completely alone. I turned that light on, opened that living Bible. He told me exactly what was going on and exactly what to do. He said, the Lord's are lording over the Lord's. And boy, that's what's happening over there, because it's money, money, money. And everybody's grabbing it. And he said, the thing that you need to do is to become the least, and I'll exalt you up. I went through an experience of being on guard duty. That was after the king got shot. And I became the least on guard duty. I was older than some of them too, but I became the least. I read the New Testament through in 3 weeks. And it was just easy to do. I don't remember what I read. Just read it through. Waked up on a Friday morning. And I said, Eloise, we're going home. She said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. I just know. Tuesday morning, we were on an airplane on the way back to Dallas. What I like about that is, we're in the place that God actually lives and walks with us. Only thing about me is, for me to continue to stay here, because I can't hear. I overrule it. Eloise said, if you could just be a little quieter, you might hear him sometimes. A little more often. But you've got the way for me not to rush out and do it myself. I've had some great days. One time in an apartment, just happened a couple, three times. I went down there and just took the Bible down there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the Bible scholar, but I went down there on the Bible and thing. At 9 o'clock one morning to poo. Stayed all day long, not a soul came there. They always brought me a sandwich and Coke, didn't say a word. I stayed there till 3:30 in the afternoon. Been there 3 or 4 times. And God revealed, meditation, oh God, I like to forgot the deal. Oh, you got your pad? Don't let me forget the prayer, but meditation, you got to have this. I heard him talk about meditation, all different forms, Eastern, Western, all different kinds of meditation. A little girl came to me one night and said, found out how to meditate. I said, God, don't tell my sponsor, don't tell a soul. Everybody wants to know, and everybody's got different ideas. Don't tell a soul. I said, when they go to ice cream, you know I'm eating the other room. So they all took off to ice cream, and she came over there, and she said, I went over to this church today, and I found out it's a different kind of church. They know how to do it. What you do is you go home and close the door, get down on your knees beside the bed, and pray, and clear your mind. Then it just comes in. God, couldn't wait to get home. She said, well, aren't you going to ice cream? I said, hell no. I've been waiting for this. Ran home, locked the door, got in there, and opened the window in case any angels wanted to come in or anything. Got out on my knees and said that prayer. Cleared my mind. First thing I thought about is shacking up with that girl. Called my sponsor about that and he said, I don't think you need to meditate anymore than that. Meditation comes to me most of the time now when I'm driving. When I travel some of my work and when I'm driving. And it just comes. And some things have come to me, like one of the strongest and greatest I ever had was when God came into my life, and I knew He loved me. And I knew that was the thing that you and I didn't know. That if we knew that, nothing could bother us. Well, I've heard that all my life. But I never did know that. And see, I knew that, and it was so strong, it lasted for about 4 days. And then the time that it came that I knew why we didn't fit in. We were sitting here trying to fit in all of our lives. You know why we couldn't fit in? We live in God's kingdom. God's children don't fit in the world. We're not supposed to. Don't need to. We're just supposed to live here in our group of Alcoholics Anonymous that God's put us in and go out there and do that stuff He sends us to do that we don't even know what we're doing. 90% of the things that God uses you for, you don't even know it. And there we were. No wonder we got drunk. Hell, we was trying to fit in a place that didn't fit. Wasn't supposed to fit in. I didn't know I knew that. Now I know that. Now I know why you and I couldn't fit. And look how they tricked us into that deal about the resentment deal. About why I can't do that. It's another book. You know, that got some of our stuff. Where it said, what are you doing that for? How come you're doing that? Because God says, if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you. So the only way I can become a person who forgives himself is first forgive that other guy. And they tricked me into that. Hell, I didn't want to forgive him. And they tricked me into it. They tricked me into the whole damn thing. Every morning I say this prayer. I read a book on prayers, my grandmother's book. I'm not a reader. I spot read, a little every morning, a little every night. Some people hand me some books. I got to watch that. This book on prayer, after I got through reading it, there's only one thing that I knew after I got through reading it. If you have not had a prayer of inviting God into the meeting, into the day, into the hour, then no preparation has been made. Didn't make any difference if it's a revival. If we didn't say that prayer. And I found that out one time. I was talking to a place, and Eloise was with me, thank God. And I started talking. I said, well, the guy didn't do the surrender prayer. We didn't have the silent prayer this morning, but I won't insult him. I'll just go ahead and not do it. Started out, and you know what? The people looked like a blank. And you know what was happening? Nothing. And I stopped. Eloise said, she said, God, what's wrong? And he said to her, I have not been invited. And boy, she said, well, if I can, I invite you. That thing changed just like that. I'll tell you what, if they don't do it now, I do it. That's the only shot you and I have got. But this prayer, about books, you know there's lots of books. Lots of books. One of them that was popular when I was getting ready to get into books was I'm Okay, You're Okay. And they were getting to do us. There's a 5 or 6 of us going to a seminar on I'm Okay, You're Okay. And my sponsor caught me as we were going out the door. Said, where in the hell are you going? I said, I'm going to that seminar. Which one? Well, I'm okay, you're okay. He said, you're not going. I said, why? He said, you're not okay. I don't know what it is about us that after we get in here and get a little of this stuff, this real good, the stuff that we've looked for all our life, now we want to go somewhere else and really get it. This is it. You're here. Don't need to go looking for it anymore. Just sit here and become different. I read some stuff once in a while. Somebody will send me a book, and it'll be, if it's total commitment of God, I'll spot read through it over a period of time, and you know what it does? Confirms every single thing we're doing. Do you know what the Bible does? confirms every single thing that we're doing. And our big book's the formula for life. This prayer I say every morning. God, take me today and let me be what you want me to be. Let thy will only be done in my life. Help me to definitely not take a drink of anything alcoholic or a mind-changing drug. Smoke a cigarette, tobacco of any form. Put into this mind or body anything you do not want in it. And should that old sex hang-up return, let the thought be fleeting with no action taken. And should any of my old thinking return, let the thought be fleeting with no action taken. And then I pray for some people, most of them, unless it's a new resentment started, are people in Alcoholics Anonymous that are in my life at that time. And I do that every day. And then I try to say little things during the day and invite God into my working during the day. And the big problem with that is, when you're inviting God in, don't try to judge and see how he's getting along. God does not need a watchdog. He's doing fine. Remember, I need to remember that if his thoughts are higher than mine, his ways are higher than mine, I'm not going to know at the time what the deal is. I'm not going to know at the time, is it working or isn't it? And I need to know that I do not know that. God is, we're the only people in the world that want to tell God what to do. You know, other people don't even have a desire to tell God what to do. They wouldn't even entertain the thought that God needs to hear from us so he'll know what to do. They really believe God is God and knows what to do. And you and I have got to become that person. So we do not believe, do we? Tell God doesn't know what he's doing. You haven't done it lately, have you? Been in a situation where you knew God didn't know what he's doing? We got to do that. It's just recently that I said that it came to me in a new depth or whatever you want to call it. That I knew that God really didn't know. No, what I was really saying, he gave me a 5-minute signal and just throws me off. That I really knew that I really didn't believe. Now, how is he going to get us to forgive and to believe? How am I really going to know myself? How am I really going to know? Let me tell you how I'm really going to know. He's going to have me working with others. I'm going to be, God, no wonder. I'm going to be working with others. You got it? I am to work with others. When I got in Alcoholics Anonymous, they would not let me work with anybody. I've already had that spiritual experience. And they're not letting me in. Finally, they took me on a 12-step call, and I got there, and they said, they stopped the car, prayed, went upstairs, right before we got in, and said, don't you say anything, we'll handle this. And I get up there, and my God, they're missing it. Hell, they're not doing it. I've got some shortcuts, and they're missing it. So I saw the wife go in the kitchen, so I got up to go help her. And then they came and got me. Then I went on 4 or 5 more 12-step calls. And then finally, I was at the club one day. They would never let me say anything, 12-step calls, just listen. And the phone rang and it was in a group and it was a 12-step call. I said, oh, baby. I called him right back, clarified it, made sure, found out where he lived, told him I'd be right over there. And about that time, here come the big boys, didn't tell him nothing. And a guy walked in, been sober about 30 days, and said, come on, you got to go with me. And they said, where are you going? We'll go with you. I said, no, got to go by yourself. Went over there to that guy right before, got up there, we prayed. I said, keep your mouth shut. I'll handle this deal. Went up there, and of course, his garage apartment, we like those. Had about half a beer, and I gave him my best 30-minute shot straight through, God and all, gave it to him. And just soon as, before I could even think what I was doing, stopped a minute, and he said, can I finish that beer? That's all he was thinking about for 30 minutes. Then I gave him the big deal. I said, now, if you don't drink anything tomorrow, I'll take you to a meeting. I'll call you in the morning, then I'll call you tomorrow afternoon. I did. He didn't drink. Took him to on Friday night. Took him to that meeting. Took him to ice cream the first night. He didn't eat any ice cream, but he went. And the next day I said, man, I picked him up Saturday night. I said, you've got a good deal. We've got an hour and a half meeting. We go to the best place in town for ice cream on Saturday night. It's a big deal. You're going to love this. He said, take me home. I said, why? He said, I've had all this crap I want. I took him over. I said, well, I'll call you in the morning. You can't make it. He said, no, I'll call you. That guy had been on beer for about 3 years. Wasn't doing too bad. He didn't drink that Sunday. Monday, he went out and bought a case of whiskey. I was traveling, and I was out of town. I came back, went to Thursday night meeting. What had happened? That guy got that case of whiskey and was in the hospital by Wednesday night. My sponsor announced to my group, if anybody knows anybody that's not quite ready, let Jim talk to him. On April 1st, one Tuesday night, this guy called, and he knew where the club was. And I met him about 11 o'clock, and we talked till about 3 in the morning, and he never took another drink. And that guy taught me more about me than any other person he's ever done. He taught me more about his problems with women, how I was, taught me more. I've got a doctor right now that's teaching me more about self-centeredness than anybody I've ever known. And then I begin to know, I don't have anybody that's going to come out that I work with, don't have any idea, but I'm better. Every time I work with them, I'm better. Look what they did to you and I. They tricked us into this whole damn thing. They tricked us into loving an Al-Anon and an alcoholic when nobody in this world could stand them. And they tricked me into doing it. We're in the most fantastic thing that God ever gave to His children. We're in a program that got us self-centered people, impossible to give and receive love. And the system is absolutely perfect. We can't work it nor do it. And we do for others and don't know we're doing it. And what we receive, we don't know what we did to receive it. Because it's designed by God Himself. We've got the secret. We're in it. No other place for you and I. We're here. We're here to live out and receive all the benefits that come from God Himself. We've got that one ingredient and that one powerful thing that we had here today. As we met together in His name, He showed up. Every time you and I call each other, He shows up. Every time you and I get on our knees, He shows up. Without a shadow of a doubt, our lives are absolutely unlimited. There's no limits that you and I, where you and I can go. As long as I stand here and say, God, I'm willing to stand. Let you have my life and take it as far as you want to go. In the meantime, it'll be just like it is right now. The greatest feeling in the world. I'm in the greatest place in the world right now. Feeling you loving me and me loving you. Thank you very much.